Ali Farouk Manesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State, and you're listening to The Hall Show on 1310 KFK.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back into The Hall Show, powered by Chevron, live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Joining me now, Kevin Lytle. He is our Colorado State Rams insider. Still feeling pretty good after the Rams handled the Broncos, the Boise State Broncos, the other night, 75-62. And Kevin, I mean, since that story you did, I don't know if it was the kickball game or was the story about the kickball game. The Rams are undefeated, so there's something to it, man.
Well, it's strange. I thought I was told on Twitter about 2 weeks ago that the season was over and they're going to stop playing. But I guess basketball season has continued. And yeah, the great kickball team has turned into a good basketball team too.
Yeah, and you know where I am on this. I think there's room to worry a bit when you see a loss to Nevada, you see a loss to Wyoming. It doesn't mean you're saying the season is over. However, you get that. You're seeing Rams fans on both sides. I think there was reason to at least be concerned, but then this team obviously followed it up the way I still believed they could. But there's got to be that middle ground. You know, you want to just recover. I always say the mark of these great teams, When you do deal with some issues, you know, you lose to Nevada, you have a really weird way of losing to Wyoming, how do you respond? And the Rams answered that beautifully.
Absolutely. And yeah, I think that's right. That is the mark and one of the things that separates teams, you know, over the course of a season. Is, you know, very rarely does a team go through a college basketball season kind of smoothly. Like, it's just a freaking long season. And a lot of good teams, especially when the league is this good. And CSU has responded really well. They had that kind of early mid-January slump where the offense wasn't good. They were kind of had, I don't want to say rotation issues, but figuring out exactly the best ways to kind of roll through everyone. And they're clicking now. The defense has been really good, and the offense is looking like itself again. You know, one of the cool things about the Boise State win, CSU wasn't hitting the three ball, but offense was still excellent.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado, on our Rams Insider. And that was huge, too, finding different ways to win. When you're struggling from the three-point line, can you still find a way to win a game? And especially by 13, and they were, I mean, Kevin, what did they have, like 40 points in the paint or something like that? I mean, that's tremendous.
Yeah, 40 in the paint against a team like Boise State, that's really good defensively and really physical inside. Boise State tends to not let that happen, and CSU kind of just carved them up. And it's a lot of different guys. You know, Joel Scott, we can talk more about him, but he's playing really, really well. He had a good game. And then you just have a bunch of guys just play well. And that's what, again, going back to like November, December, that's what this team is, you know, when they're at their best, it's not one guy, Isaiah, going off. It's a lot of guys being good.
And you know, on that night, too, and I want to get into more of those specifics on the game, but that was a night, okay, you needed to beat Boise State. It wasn't, I didn't feel as strongly about having to win that one as I did the two games before, but you needed to win that game, and then Utah State lost. So you've got like a log jam right now, and suddenly winning the regular season, Kevin, is still very realistic at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it just shows how good this league is. Because, yeah, you know, just a week ago, it looked like, CSU is probably a little bit of a ways out of this thing. Then all of a sudden, you beat Boise State, who is one of the co-leaders. On the same night, Nevada beat the other co-leader in Utah State. And now, it's crazy. You have seven teams within a game and a half at the top, which is just, I don't have to explain it. That's pretty nutty. And the good thing for CSU is, you know, they got the split versus Boise State, and they've already beat New Mexico and San Diego State. So they have, at worst, the split against those teams. So you're setting yourself up to have it. You know, Nico Medved loves the be in a position to be in a position phrase. That's what they've done for themselves now.
Well, and if you look, yeah, you're looking at the standings, and pretty much safe to say only three teams are realistically out of this thing. I mean, Wyoming and UNLV, Wyoming's close to being out, but, I mean, crazy things can happen. So, really, it's the three at the bottom, and then everybody else in with what, like eight games to go or so, Kevin? I don't have it in front of me, but not, I mean, I think we're under double digits, and you have all those teams that could still make a run and win the regular season title.
Yeah, it's completely crazy, and yeah, it's pretty much exactly a month left in the season. And this is where we're at. I mean, it's a huge weekend. I shouldn't say that. I should stop saying that, because every night of Mountain West games is a huge set. You know, there aren't these nights where it's like, you know, no, these games really matter that much. Because, you know, when you have seven teams fighting at the top, some of them are going to be playing. You know, so Friday night, CSU has San Jose State. They have to win that one. You know, you just can't afford a horrible loss like that. But you have San Diego State playing at Nevada and Boise State at Utah State this weekend. So obviously two of those teams are taking losses. So if CSU wins, you know, they'll, you know, at least catch up with some other teams. So again, it's the tenor of it has just changed dramatically.
No question about it. I feel like CSU and probably all of the Mountain West, it's like a swim meet. They're in the pool. They're swimming. If you pull your head up to look at where you're standing, where you're sitting in the standings, you're going to lose. You're going to fall behind. You have to keep swimming. You have to keep going. It's like Dory, but you got to keep going. And that's what this race is. There is no time to take a breath.
Yeah, and it's also like the 500 of those races. It takes a long time, and your early lead may not mean anything late, because you know, there's a lot of time to change. You know, at the start of the season, I believe I had told you guys, you know, 14-4 was my pick. I'm not sure 14-4 is going to be the winner. It might be 13-5 now. The lead, you know, everyone's beating themselves or each other up that significantly.
Well, and to you know, give you more praise, Kevin, you did say at one point you could see the champ, the regular season champ, losing. Maybe you could see them losing five games. So you were kind of right on at the beginning of conference play.
Yeah, I was very certain that 14-4 was the very best that could happen, considering everyone has at least three losses right now. I'm feeling pretty good about that. I don't see any of those teams winning out from here. So yeah, like I say, 14-4 is feeling, you know, almost unlikely. 13-5 feels more like it. And 12, you know, like three teams at 12-6 or something like that is not crazy.
No, it's absolutely wild. It's a lot of fun to watch every single weekend because you don't know what's going to happen. Going back to that Broncos game, Kevin, I thought that was so important for so many reasons. You're not hitting from three. Find different ways to win. Neat Clifford, who on this show before, of course, Kevin, you know I'm right about everything. I said Neat Clifford's going to have a great game in order for the Rams to win this one. This was one of his worst games of the season, and you win by 13. So, yeah, what do I know? I don't know, man.
No, I think that's a great point, though, of winning when he has, yeah, at least scoring-wise. I think he still did other things, but scoring-wise, yeah, it was one of his, you know, not great games, and he still, or CSU, I should say, still won, you know, pretty easily. That's a great sign. The bench was good, which, you know, CSU needs to get that to travel, which, you know, most teams, their bench struggles on the road, but if CSU's could be good on the road, that'd be big, but just gain confidence from these other guys. You know, Joel Scott is looking like a monster again. Pat Carrier is playing well. You know, Zay is he had 11 assists. You know, it's rare that he has a bad night, and he did in Boise with six turnovers.
Yeah.
He changed that in this one. So yeah, things are just clicking right now.
Yeah, Isaiah, I mean, it's like this is the highest compliment you can pay the guy. You know, it's just, wow, 16 points, 11 assists. It's just a steady performance every single game from Isaiah that, you know, I compared him. I kind of did the opposite thing. When you look at the Nuggets with Jamal Murray, he goes on these Murray flurries, and he can score 32, but he scored like 16 in a bunch, and then he takes a break for a while. He scores like 10 later. Isaiah is this steady flow of chaos throughout the game that certainly doesn't look like chaos. It's art out there watching him play.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting, I guess, comparison. They are totally different. Murray, like you say, it kind of comes in explosions. Like it can be quiet and then it erupts. Whereas Zay, it's more like the lava flow after the volcano explosion of like you can't necessarily even tell it's happening, and then you look up and he has 14 and 11. It's kind of just consistent manipulation of the game. I think earlier this season I used the kind of analogy of, you know, the marionette strings of, like, you're playing the puppets, you know, with the strings above them, and you can't, you know, you shouldn't be able to tell. That's what Zay is. He kind of runs things, you know, quietly in some ways. Obviously, he does have some very loud games, but there are other games where he just quietly manipulates it and make it all bend to his will.
Kevin, in one segment, we have used swimming, volcanoes, and puppetry.
Everywhere.
I mean, we are on it today, my friend.
We're either on it or way off it.
You talk about Joel Scott. I think I brought this up to you on Rams Weekly last week or 2 weeks ago when our boy Adam Nygon, a color commentator for the Rams, former yeah. Ram, he did a beautiful video just talking about Joel Scott and doing a kind of a player highlight profile on him. And he basically summed it up by saying, Joel Scott, remember who the blank you are. And so I'm going, yeah, Joel Scott, we've seen him do these things. We've seen how good he can be. What does it take for a player to get into that mindset of remember who you are? Because you know you can yeah. do it. Why wasn't he doing it? And then what sparked for him?
Yeah, I think there are a few things. You know, we saw it with Pat Cartier last year of the D2 to D1 jump is big. You know, these guys are talented. They know they can be good. They have success. But it's a big jump. I think early in Mountain West play, it's natural to hill wall. Teams, all of a sudden, one, you lock in even more when it's league play. They know everything you're running. And the Mountain West, you have a lot of good defensive teams. So I think there's some of that where it's like, oh gosh, this, you know, this is tough. But then, yeah, a little bit of, you know, it sounds almost too simple, but it's true of like, hey, all the things you did earlier season, all the things you did at the D2 level, they pretty much translate. And that's where he's gotten back to. I have some numbers on him, actually, that I have in my preview for tomorrow's game. He has scored in double figures 7 games in a row. This is Joel Scott. CSU is 16-2 when he's in double figures, and he's shooting 65% from the field in those 7 games. So he's gotten back to really dominating. And yeah, I think it's what you hope when you have these D2 guys come up of, yeah, they might ride a bit of a you know, up and down during the season, but come late in the season, they'll start to get really comfortable and, you know, play how you know they can. You know, we saw it with Chandler Jacobs, you know, in the NCAA tournament run a couple of years ago. We saw it with Pat Cartier. He was probably playing his best come the Mountain West tournament last year, and now we're seeing it with Joel Scott. So I think it's onwards and upwards with him.
Well, I'll check out that preview, too. Looking forward to that, Kevin. What should we be worried about as the Rams get set to take on San Jose State tomorrow? And that game will be on FS1. I know that's the home run hitter uh-huh. everybody was wanting, as opposed to the Boise State game.
Absolutely. So San Jose State is limited. They've had some injuries. They don't really have the guys, as their record would suggest. The thing that worries me most, if I'm a CSU fan, is Tim Miles knows CSU system inside and out. He knows Nico Medved so well that you understand how they're going to react to different things. You understand, you know, some potential defenses that can throw them off their rhythm. And I think, you know, especially for it, you know, when it's a big underdog situation, that knowledge, like obviously Medved and Farouk Benesh know Miles and his systems, but I think that helps the underdog more because it can, in a little bit, level the playing field. But that being said, CSU has the better players and they're at home. You know, there's no reason to not win this game.
Yeah, really need to get this one, too, because San Diego State on the road next week and then home against Utah State and then at the Pit, 3 in a row coming up. So this is a significant one for Colorado State.
If CSU wins this one, man, how big is that game at Viejas on Tuesday?
Going to be absolutely. I love it, though. It's setting it up, man. We're setting it up. I got about 30 seconds, Kevin. David Roddy traded. He's going to the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I guess in a good way. Fans will, it's easier to see him being in, you know, Phoenix. One is a place I know, you know, obviously a lot of different reasons people travel to, and then, you know, stays in the Western Conference, but it just feels like easier to go watch David Arraya play basketball, and obviously that's an interesting team there.
Yeah, I mean, it's a team that's in the mix, you know, with Memphis and Ja Morant and that whole thing. We, you know, who knows where they're going
to
end up.
In a position to be in a position, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Roddy is taking those words to heart, man. We'll see what he does with his time with the Phoenix Suns. Kevin, my man, always appreciate you. I'm busting out this afternoon. I've got a meeting. Tanner's going to be joining forces with you for Rams Weekly, so we're looking forward to it, my friend.
Yep, it'll be fun.
All right, man. Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado, and Rams got San Jose State tomorrow. It's a big one because of what's coming up after that. Three games in a row that are going to be very difficult for Colorado State. Quick break coming up. I do want to throw this out, though. Milwaukee is acquiring Patrick Beverley from the 76ers for campaign and a second-round pick. So the trades are happening. Will the Nuggets be involved in any of those? We'll keep our eyes on it. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Get your game day forecast with meteorologist Cody Wilson. Fridays on Good Morning NoCo, only on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.